Hi, this is Matt Bernstein, and I'm with Dennis J. Smith, and this is the Make Money Online show, where every week we have a unique guest that will help you make money online. And here with us today is Alex Jenadenenik. He is a natural born hustler. Every single website that I go on to upload my courses or upload my services, Alex is already on there. He has 72 Udemy courses. He has Google and Apple applications, business applications. And here today, he's going to give insight into his business. Welcome to the show, Alex.
I'm also like a friend. I'm becoming like a friend because even though I've never met you guys, I feel like I've known you guys for so long and it's going to be a super fun show. And by the way, Matt, when I was first starting on Udemy, your course on how to make money on Udemy was one of the first courses I took, which was very good, by the way. If anybody's starting on Udemy, they should take that. Actually, that really got me my, like, one of the first, I was struggling at first, and that was really one of the legs up of my Udemy experience, where after I took your course, I was like, things clicked for me. And I was like, this guy's good. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And we should get you on like as a case study on the course. So that would be awesome. Like a success story. I appreciate you letting me know about that.
Yeah, no, it's seriously a good course and it really helped me. I was like, wow, this is good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, push your laptop back just a little bit because that problem that I had last week myself, you've got that bar over the top of your head right now.
All right. Awesome.
It looks okay. I mean, it's fine. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with the first thing that I wanted to ask you about. I know that we've talked about it. I kind of know like your history with coming to the U.S. and all of that, but our audience doesn't. So if you could just kind of let them know, like, you know, you don't have to go into detail, but like where you started and where you're at now.
Should I talk about coming to the U.S.? I was born in Odessa, Ukraine, which, as everybody knows, is the capital of Europe, of course. It's not. But, you know, people there, they think it is. And, you know, I'm a proud Odessan. But I came here to the U.S. At a pretty young age, you know, when I was 11 years old. You know, I went to school here, went to college here, so I got my education here. And, you know, I got a computer science degree. I worked as a software engineer, which I like doing software engineering. I always had ideas and the amazing thing about it was that you can put them into action, you know, when you know how to code. But I didn't like sort of like working for the man. It was like a little bit, I don't know, like, you know, I always had my own, I wanted to work on my own ideas, you know, and the only time I had to work on my own ideas, literally it was like wake up like at 6 a.m. before work. On the bus to work, in the evening, on the weekends, but like all the time, it's not the best time, and all the like, you know, it just wasn't my best time. And also, another problem I had is because I only was a programmer, I had no clue about business, and so I had to like, you know, trial by fire. You know, I had to like learn everything on my own. And I did a lot of projects. I worked like crazy, but then you know the projects they were failing. They were bad, and then they kind of failed less and less and less, and they started being more and more successful. And my first successful product was my first the mobile app, which is a business planning mobile app on Android, which now is a 4-app series that covers fundraising, business ideas, business planning, and, you know, marketing, all the major things that people really struggle with when they start a business. And right now, actually, for the last 2 years, if you search the word business on Android, that app like literally has been number one for the last like 2 years. Just the word business, because in the business niche, there's no more competitive keyword than the word business. And for the last 2 years, or I think a little bit more than that, I'm like, I actually had pretty amazed myself, but that app has been number one.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you started building apps before you were a Udemy instructor and everything else. We'll get to more of the apps later. When did you start selling online, and specifically in what challenges were you faced with?
Well, my initial challenge was the apps because by the way, I love my app users, but the stingiest people on the internet are app users. Because, you know, go ahead and try to pry 99 cents away from an app user, right? And I think we also are those app users. because I myself hate paying for apps. I don't know why. I should like feel some kind of like camaraderie with the other app developers. But there's something about apps where it's like a challenge. I'm not going to spend money on this thing, right? And I think so. It's really hard place to make money. So I had to really learn to sell and to learn to make money on apps. And I tried a million ways to monetize my apps. Affiliate marketing, you know, coaching, selling, upselling coaching, all kinds of things. Like there's like 25 is an exaggeration, but there are many ways that the app tries to sell some products or services in there. And that's really the first place where I was like, you know, I had the salesman hat on and had a, you know, it was a challenge. It was a really big challenge. That's really the first place.
And what about teaching on Udemy?
That was really one of the last things I did because my friend Nick Loper, Dennis, that I know you know him well, we're in the same group, yeah, who has, by the way, a great, great podcast himself. He introduced me to writing books, that like the concept, like, and I actually always liked writing. Like I took creative writing classes in college. It was like a thing I liked. But I never thought of myself as like, oh, making money on Amazon. And he kind of introduced me a couple of years ago to like, hey, it's totally possible. And I wrote one. Actually, my first book was really interesting. When my apps hit like 300,000 downloads, I took all the questions that people on the apps ever asked about business, and then grouped those questions into sort of sections and subsections and chapters and answered it in my first book. And that was the idea behind that was that like, that would be the most comprehensive book on starting a business because it's like gigantic sample set of real people who are real first-time entrepreneurs. And their all their issues are answered, you know, except legal questions, because that I wouldn't touch. And so that was really my first book that I wrote. And I wrote an accompanying marketing book, and that, you know, followed by an apps book, because, you know, obviously I have some expertise in apps. But then, and then I got into YouTube, and only after YouTube, I got into Udemy. YouTube was kind of like a playground a little bit to get comfortable with video. Because for a programmer who's like learning business and marketing, and like video was like a whole new thing. It was like a whole new animal. And, you know, I'm still sort of working on continuously sort of improving the video thing, because it's a whole different animal. Because if you write something, you can always edit it, you can always change it. But video, it's live. I mean, even if you say hello, there's like, you'll never say hello the same way, right? Like, hello, hello. And so video, it's like, it's always different. And, you know, no matter how good you are, there will always be like a sentence or two where that could have been better. So there's always room for improvement in video. And really, you know, after I got a little better, I got into Udemy. But that's a real thing I'm still working on improving, is my video creation and delivery and all that stuff.
Yeah. We'll talk about Udemy a little bit more in a while, but I want to stay focused on ebooks for a little while, because I write ebooks myself, and I know that you've got, you know, that you have several of them out there, and I've seen the cover designs that you're changing, which I think is great. But I want to share with those who are listening to us today kind of like the process that you go through in writing ebooks, and also talk about some insights on how people can write books if they think that maybe they're not a good writer or if they're too busy to write. So let's talk about that some.
Right. So for me, the way I write books is maybe different from how most people would write books, but the way I work, because, you know, all of us, we're one-person businesses, and time is sort of our like most valuable resource. And I think what I've become good at, maybe even subconsciously over time, is taking out the inefficiencies in my own processes. And so when I sit down and write a book, I like decide, hey, this is a chance to sell. Very few ideas for books that I have, when I go to do some research, I think, oh, this actually has a chance to sell. So there's, you know, first of all, like there's, you know, I kind of get rid of a lot of ideas I have, I don't pursue them. But the few that I pursue, I basically do what I call sprints. So like a few months ago, I had a sprint of like 40 days where I wrote like 12 or something books. And it might seem like but basically all day, just writing, no distraction, no Facebook or minimal Facebook, but really just super focused on only one thing. And you just like, you know, tea, coffee, make sure you sleep well, all that stuff, and just work like crazy. And then you wake up from the 40 days and you're like, oh, the books are done. And then you have a lot of content and you have a lot of books. And by the way, I thought actually it's going to take me 2 months and it only took like 41 days to write all the books that I planned. But I think it's just an issue of focus and taking out all the things that distractions. Really, like no phone when I'm working, like, I don't know if it only open Facebook sometimes, like very little social media. Like I don't tweet anymore. People who get my tweets, those are automated. That kind of stuff. So I just really take like one or two or three most important tasks and I just focus on them, but I take out everything else. And I feel like I'm ADD. So I especially have to do that. I think everybody these days feels like they're ADD, but I think for me, that's sort of the cure for mine. And so then at the end of the sprint, I sort of come out with a lot of books. For other people who maybe are not good writers or don't like to write, or maybe even this advice I should take myself because maybe I could have saved myself the 40 days, but you can talk into a recorder and just record your ideas. You don't have to write a single word. Like celebrities, when they have a book, do you think they wrote? No. They basically had somebody record them, like Gary Vaynerchuk. He doesn't write, he just records. And somebody goes and somebody edits it, you know, somebody transcribes it, right? You outsource somebody to transcribe it. It's reasonable and cheap. Then you outsource somebody else to edit it, make it into a book. And then obviously all of us need nice book covers. As you always point out, that mine suck, Dennis. I appreciate that because it gets me on, gets me off my butt and actually getting nicer covers. That's something that, but it's good, you know.
Well, you know that it sells the cover. I mean, that's like people say that don't judge a book by its cover. Well, that might be true with people, but not books.
Right. And so
using Canva will probably improve your. You can just like real quick on a canva.com and get a much better ebook cover probably for free.
Amazon,
or Fiverr.
Yeah, I mean Amazon gives you some dummy images that you can use, and you know I like I'm just not visually talented. Like they all look okay to me, so I'm like, all right, that one looks good enough. And then Dennis comes in and like, oh, what the hell is that? What is that cover?
You nice put them out on Side Hustle Nation and ask people like which covers that they think looks best or whatever. And I'm like, wow, he's finally doing something about it. And he's gotten some really good covers, actually. I like what I've seen.
Thank you. Well, I'll pass it to the designer.
Yeah.
I wish I could do it. Yeah, thanks.
Should I go to Udemy now or stick with the Kindle eBooks?
I just wanted to, like, if you don't mind, ask a few more questions, like, with Kindle, just to kind of go. So you basically, you're using your laptop to write your book instead of doing, like, the dictation that you were, because, I mean, that's a great way to do that, or doing that on your phone. But I know that you live in a small apartment, so do you ever get out and go to a coffee shop or someplace other than your apartment? Because I mean, if you did something like these sprints, it sounds all great, you know. I think it's a good idea, but I think I would go crazy if I just didn't go out and do. You go to the gym too, but do you ever go to the coffee shop?
Coffee shop, not my favorite because distractions.
Yeah, that's interesting.
No, there's always people talking about their business and like girlfriend, boyfriend, blah, 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 drama. You know, my work sucks, blah, 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 somebody else talking in the other ear. And you know what? It's interesting to over here. It's interesting. You can't help but listen. But that means you're not working.
Yeah. So silence, like, do you have any music or anything like that going?
When I'm working, it's heated, you know, like, it's hot. Like, it's on, you know, like
Yeah.
I'm in the zone. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense with all the work that you've created, the ebooks, the apps, the Udemy courses, everything that you've done, like every site that I'm going to upload my courses onto, you're already on it. So obviously a lot of work is put into all that.
I might be pirated because actually so far I'm only supposed to be on Udemy.
Really?
Yeah.
What about ofcourse.co.uk?
That's the only one that's not. I was thinking maybe he doesn't know, but okay, that's the only one.
Well, plus Fiverr. I don't know. You're just.
But yes, okay. I have like multiple businesses. I have a little bit of coaching that I do. I have some Fiverr things that I do freelancing. I have apps. Like I have like 16 apps to support. Some big number of apps to support. And you know, I also have like Udemy, and I also have the books to improve. So I have like a lot of businesses. If I'm not like super on, like you know, I'm just gonna drop the ball. You know. So it's got to be heated, you know? It's got to be, like, on.
Yeah. I can understand, like, why that's important because, like, myself, if I get a lot of distractions, then I procrastinate. And Matt knows that because I talk to him about that stuff. That's what I struggle with. So distractions are harmful to success.
But you hustle, too. You got a lot of stuff going on, too.
I do, but I think that you have to stay focused in order to get things done and accomplished. I mean, I do get things done, but then it's like you have to get the important stuff done. Like people always talk about, look at the things that are going to make you income at the moment and get those done so that you've got the income coming in. And then work on some of the other things. So I have to look at my day and say, what do I need to get done today that is going to generate me revenue now? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of getting things done, Alex, you have 72 courses on Udemy. Can we talk about what kind of Udemy courses you create and then get into how you create them?
Yeah. You know, I will tell you a funny story. That maybe like a year and a half ago, I was on John Colley, our friend John Colley. I was on his podcast. I think JBD Colley. What is that? E-learning. Just to give him a little plug. What is the name of this podcast? Something about e-learning. Anyway, everybody go look for his podcast.
Online learning.
The online learning podcast, right? And so I was a guest on the show. You know, he said, Alex, you have 20 courses, right? That was like a year and a half ago. How did you come up with that many courses? And I said, you know, I have no idea. And I can't believe it's that many. And you know what? I'm not going to make any more because there's just like no more courses to make. All I'm going to do is focus on quality of my existing courses. And I really meant that. I really meant it. And then now here I am. I have 72 courses, actually 73, because I published one today. And the funny thing is, you know, I was on a plane ride recently. And I was really bored, as sometimes happens on a plane ride. And I started like brainstorming. Maybe I'll make some more courses. I don't know. Guess how many course ideas I came up with? I came up with like, well, I don't know if you want to guess, but like literally 60 more course ideas. And I couldn't 60? Believe it. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But maybe because like I was really bored, and like your brain just doesn't want to be bored. You know, it just wants to like think about something. And I was just like, all I had was my laptop and the open screen with like ideas. And I was like, oh, idea. And you know, and I don't know. I didn't expect it myself because I thought like I'm out of ideas. But I think it just goes to show that I think there's no, you know, just imagination is the limit. And you know, over time, I've really developed a nose for like what course might resonate with students, what might do well. So I can do like sub course ideas or like not like a definitive course on something, but like a niche course, you know, because it's impossible to have like 100 definitive courses, but like, you know, niche ideas, but something people like crave to know and something people will be curious enough to buy. I'm not always right. I'm sometimes really wrong. You know, sometimes I think something will work. It doesn't. Sometimes I think something won't work. It does. So, you know, but as you get experience, you get a little better at understanding what's going to work out, like what kind of courses will do better. And of course, as you get experience, the course creation becomes easier. Because I kind of know generally how to structure the lectures, what to say in the lectures, stuff like that. It doesn't take me a long time to create those lectures. So basically, I just end up like being able to create courses that people like. And again, not everybody loves them, but most people do, create courses that people like, and it doesn't take me too long. And I keep having new ideas for courses and always interacting with students, which really gives me ideas for more courses, because I know what they're struggling with. So that's really my sort of how I ended up with 70 and how I'll have like 100 at some point.
You just keep building off of getting to know your students and getting to know their problems and what this additional course will solve.
Yeah, or sometimes it's something I'm working on and I'm like, wow, that was like I had a friend and he was growing a business. He's selling boats. Completely random business. He sells boats, pretty lucrative business. But he was like, how do I sell on YouTube? And I started explaining to him, this is in person. This is not a student of mine, this is like a friend. And I started explaining to him how to sell on YouTube. And I realized he was really confused from my explanation. So I was like, why don't I just make a course, how to sell on YouTube, and send him all the videos so I can show how to do it. Guess what? He didn't even watch it. He got busy and by the time I made the course, he already had another idea for how to sell his boats. But I ended up with having a course. So sometimes if you just think in terms of courses, you go through life, and you're like, oh, this might be a good course idea. This is something I want to know. This is something I'm working on. So maybe it's interesting for people too. So sometimes you just in life, you go through life and course ideas open up,
Dennis, I think you're muted.
I muted it just because I didn't want to the microphone pick up anything, but I was going to ask, with that many courses, how do you manage that many courses when students have questions? How do you keep the students engaged in all of your courses? Do you focus just maybe on a few specific courses, or do you make sure that students in all of the courses are getting the engagement that that they might need to make the course enjoyable for them?
Yeah, engagement is an absolute, management is an absolute nightmare. If I have to make one little tiny change, I have to make it 73 times. it's crazy.
Yeah.
So sometimes it makes me think twice on what changes to make and really think through things before I really make those changes. That's one thing. The other thing is I do have a few courses that are really winning courses. And of course I focus mostly on that. If I do course contests, it will be only on that. If I do, extra special things, it will be only on that. At the same time, my educational announcements, I keep them relatively generic so that, they can apply to all the courses, And then, maybe I got a productivity tip or something. I just send it to all my courses, in one message. So it's not too terrible.
And throughout this whole podcast, we've been talking about how you've just, through experience, you've been able to make these systems and basically streamline everything. So what would be the process for you to launch your course and market them? And how can the listeners take this advice and do the same thing?
I think now I have a little bit of an advantage because I have 50,000 plus students. And so I actually don't need to market the course at all, because I say, hey, I got a course. Here you go, 50,000 students. And it generates enough sales. And then, of course, as Udemy has this quirk where, if you make some sales, they kind of match your sales. Right? That whole thing? Yeah. And basically, that's really the extent of my marketing. I put the course on a few discount websites. To be honest, a year ago, this previous summer, I was able to make $50 a day just posting on Black Hat Forum paid course. You know, I would post like a $9 coupon. People would buy it. A few people would buy it. I'll be happy. They'll be happy. Now, it's like impossible to sell anything there. And those sites got so diluted. It's crazy. I think
that might have been my fault from the course.
Have you been posting your free courses there?
No, just from like the course that I teach, that because I talk about giving you either. So
It was good advice at the time. Yeah, it was in your course. I remember. You cover a lot of the discount websites that are covered in your course. I remember what they are because you know they used to work so much better, but because now people are just. I don't know if there's just a glut of courses or what it is, it's almost impossible. Like sometimes I post like $1 coupons in there, but you know, there's like no way I'm going to sell a $9 coupon on those sites these days. I don't even expect that. No way. No. Right. But that's kind of too bad because last year that was not a bad place to sell. So I think, you know, now I'm trying to look for other ways. I'm trying to do some SEO for my own website from which I can funnel people. Of course, I have a YouTube channel, which is relatively large. Like I have about a million views. So I funnel some people to my courses and books. I have my apps from which, you know, I funnel people to my courses and books. Of course, the app people, they started buying, which is a challenge for me. And actually, recently I partnered with a guy with whom I made my Android development course. We made an Android app for Udemy discounts. Like you have your course, Dennis, Udemy discount website. So we kind of made an app. So far, the app is a little slow. It's only got like 100 something downloads, but hopefully it picks up. So I have some unique ways to. So I have a little bit of some unique ways to promote my courses that some people starting out might not. I mean, of course, people starting out, I think. The main winning strategy, if they don't have an existing audience, would be to create a cluster of courses, give away a lot of seats for free in those courses, and to the free people, they can then promote their paid courses. I think that's the best strategy for people starting out who don't yet have their own audience. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, and how many students do you think each of these new instructors should get into their courses?
Like, whatever my answer is, you know, I'm going to say I hate the idea of having to give away free courses, but the way Udemy environment is today, sadly for me, because I don't like this, you have to give an infinite amount of free coupons. Like, the more the better, right? Because you give away free coupons, of course, if you give it to 100 people, okay, those are the people who might buy your paid courses, but if you give it away to 1,000 people, of course, it increases the chances tenfold that you generate sales. And if you give it away to 20,000 people, it's even better, right? I think you should be careful to distinguish like some of your top courses. Don't give those away. Give away your basic courses, but do make sure that the basic courses are good, because if the people take your basic courses and they're not good courses, they're going to lose the trust in you and they're not going to buy your premium courses because they think like, oh, your premium course must suck also, right? So make sure that your basic course that you're giving away is good, you know, and then just make sure that the premium course is even better. And if you do that, I think that's a pretty winning strategy.
To this day, you're giving away a lot of your courses for free, the basic ones.
Yeah, and you know, when I give away my basic courses, I have one course that's like my worst course. I made it very early and it was like how to become a musician or whatever, like music business. And basically me interviewing somebody who was like a successful up and coming musician. But his content, his answers weren't good. So the course just sucks and I can't fix them because I don't know, you know. So the course sucks and it doesn't make any money at all. Like it hasn't made a sale in like a year probably. And I give it away for free. Like I gave like 600 copies away for free or maybe 700. Just in the last month to do an experiment. And I tried to sell from it because that course sucks. And I made zero sales, you know, so I like, that was a little bit disappointing, but like, so at least, the course that you give away, I feel like it does have to be pretty good. Because giving away basic courses, yeah, I think people will just like think you suck as an instructor.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, like on some of those slower courses or the courses that you consider decent courses, to use those as, I guess, like in some places they call them loss leaders or something like that, where you can get people to sign up for those. What's that?
Make like a philosophical statement, but like philosophical, like within Udemy, not really philosophical like Plato, Socrates, but like Udemy philosophy.
Yeah.
Maybe like, why not? So like they're except for this bad course I mentioned, there, in theory, like I like to suggest that there should be no slow courses, because all you have to do is redo the course. If it's like, it's slow because it sucks, right? Usually, you know, like it's just not resonating. It doesn't have the engagement, right? Udemy algorithm is really good at picking out if the course is pretty good. You know, if the course sucks, like it doesn't make like any sales. As soon as I refilm the course, it starts making sales. Like my most lucrative course today, I had to refilm it entirely, sometimes more than once, you know? And then once it got to a point where it was good, it started like doing better, but naturally with the new to me. So I think it's like, I'd like to reverse your statement and say, there almost should not be slow courses.
Yeah, I mean, I could say that there shouldn't be, but in reality, I know, like, just from talking to, you know, a lot of different instructors, that you're going to have courses that are your really good courses. It's just like the 80-20 rule anywhere in life. 20% of your courses are probably going to make about 80% of your revenue. The courses that aren't making as much revenue, what I was going to say, are the courses that you could, like, you automate your tweets, and I think that you're probably using Tweet Jukebox. Is that correct?
But they're all the same. All these tools work the same way.
Because I read your Twitter book, and I had saw that you were doing that, and I thought that's a great idea to do that, because most tweets have about a 15-minute lifespan. So it doesn't matter if you tweet the same thing over 3 days, 4 days, or whatever down the road, because somebody else is going to see it. And so tweeting out like a free course here and there, I send out like my WordPress course, which is actually one of my better courses on Udemy. I send out a tweet letting people know that they can have that course for free. They come in to a landing page and they sign up. And I get their email address so that I can send them through a sequence of messages, just asking them how they're doing on the course, reminding them that they can engage with the instructor, myself, and all of that. So I use that because I want to be able to market to those people, a larger audience, build my audience with those courses, so that when I release my next course, and Matt and I were talking about this, we think that releasing a course once a month is a good schedule for most Udemy instructors. So each month you're growing your student base, and you can say, okay, here's my latest course. If you like the course that you took, here's my latest course. And because you're a student of mine, you get it for X amount of dollars, like let's say $9, $15 or $19 or something like that. So some of those courses that maybe the word slower isn't the best word to use, you're still building your student base so that when you put out your better premium courses that you can sell to those students. That's just my thought.
Yeah. I agree with that. Except I think it's slower. Maybe some people insulting. It's probably fine and insulting. Maybe I'm financially challenged. That's slow.
Yeah, we can be politically correct. We'll start calling them financially challenged courses. Yeah. Hey, so I want to ask you a question, because I know that, didn't you say that you grew up in the Bay Area?
Yes, I did.
So you travel back there, and you've had the privilege to actually go to the Udemy headquarters. So could you, for our listeners, because a lot of us haven't had that experience, just give us an idea of what that's like.
Well, I can tell you Lindsay Bonner is a real person. She's real.
Good to know.
Everybody's great. Actually, I will tell you that they are so welcoming. And literally the first time I was there, it was like lunch. And they have like a kitchen area. And they had like somebody from the review team came and joined us. Somebody from like instructor support came and joined us. Lindsay was there. Eliza was there. And like they all like sat around me. And I felt like, oh my God, like pressure. You know, like, but all of them, they spent like maybe 45 minutes or an hour with me talking about my experience as an instructor, like how I can do better, all that stuff. And you know, all of us, if we went to Udemy, we would be like, okay, I hope they tell me some insider secrets, right? I hope that they will tell me some secrets. Of course they don't, but what they suggest are like really amazing. For me, they suggested like really amazing ways that I can improve in quality. Of like how my own courses can improve in quality. And Matt, just like, you know, when I took your course and I was struggling before that and I was flatlining, and then your course kind of helped me get a leg up, you know, improve some of the things that I was doing in my courses. Also, when I took to heart and practiced and improved my own courses with the advice they were telling me, that's when like another leg up in my Udemy experience happened. So essentially, they just talked to me about, they really focused on helping me become like a more quality teacher. And at the time, of course, when you're hoping for like, oh, I'm hoping for like secrets, and give me the insider secrets. Tell me what Alan Hill knows that nobody else knows, right? But like, you know, you don't get that. So it's like, they gave me all these things to think about and practice, and ultimately really just improve my quality. And as soon as you improve any part of your quality, and there's so many points to improve on, you start doing better, like naturally, you know, not like maybe not right away, but within a month or two or three, surely. And there's just so many things that they focused on and helped me. They talked me about, you know, getting rid of how to get rid of a lot of my ums and likes when I taught, the pacing of the course, the quality of the course, you know, structuring the lectures, improving my, getting better equipment, improving my background, improving my the camera quality, the audio quality. At the moment, I have bad audio quality, by the way. I have like a very loud heater right here. I don't know if you guys can hear, but so there's so many points to improve on, and they all kind of gave me all these things to think about and try and read up on, and you know, maybe buy different equipment, and I did, and it just, that was really what happened. They were all welcoming, and I was amazed that they kind of like wanted to know as much about my experience as an instructor as I wanted to know about Udemy, right? I wanted to learn from them, but they actually, I was kind of amazed that they wanted to learn from me, and I didn't really expect that, but they are really awesome. Like, I don't know another company that does that. Like, you know, there's no other company that does this sort of thing. And I'm not the only instructor that visited them. A lot of instructors, they're very welcoming.
Yeah, so, I mean, you bring up some solid points. Like, everybody wants to know what the secret is to like how to market the Udemy course and make more money. I mean, maybe that is kind of a secret there, because I don't think many instructors think to just, hey, why don't you just improve your course, get those course satisfaction ratings up from your students, and then you'll start selling more Udemy organic sales.
I so agree with you. I'll tell you, I have a client. I'm coaching her through how to make a Udemy course, her first Udemy course, right? I'm like, I'm not anal by nature. I'm like, I'm very anal with her. I'm like, just do this just right. Move here, you know, say this, don't say that, like redo this, redo that. And I'm like, I don't really even recognize myself. Like, I'm not that, you know, I'm like, usually I'm like, hey, that's cool. But, and she's telling me like, wow, there's a lot, but literally yesterday I told her, right now we're working in your marketing, like, right? Improving all the course quality issues. I'm like, we are working right now precisely on your marketing, because like, this, your course quality, that's going to be what's going to get people engaged. That's going to be what's going to get people to get through the lectures, to get your course time watched up, completion lectures, completion percentage of lectures. And with that, Udemy algorithm is going to promote you more. So we're already working in your marketing so that when your course is live, you don't have an audience, but you're not going to have to do that much. So that's really the thing.
And Dennis, did you have any more questions about Udemy, or Alex, did you have any more to add? Because then the next section of this podcast. We're going to be talking about other profitable platforms that you're on.
I do. I actually want to brainstorm right now. One of the things that I'm thinking about 2016 is of course.uk, right? That course platform. And I'm kind of working on possibly having my courses on Skillshare. I don't know if that's profitable, but what would you recommend? Because I think of most people on Udemy, you're one of the experts, Matt, of like finding other, I even learned about this EduPile from you and Skillfeed I learned from you. So like even from back in the day, you had ideas for secondary and tertiary like course platforms. Are you finding success with the other ones? And by the way, the way I got on that Course UK thing is this fall, this past September, they emailed me and I said, here's, you know, just download the lectures, upload it. I don't have time, you know. So they actually uploaded my courses there. It wasn't, and I was surprised. It was my first paycheck from them in my PayPal. I was really surprised to see it this month.
They're making Phil Ebner money too, so it's good. Yeah. I just got on there with my selling on eBay course this month, so we'll see if I get paid from them. Dennis, did you have a question?
Wait, before we move on,
I'm just like sitting here listening. Sorry.
Okay, so the Skillshare. Sorry.
What's that?
Well, now we are equal in props. I see, like on lab, people give people props. These little hands. You guys see that little thing?
Yeah, you know what? It's like we don't get as many props as we did before.
Thank you for giving props,
Sergey.
Sergey. Yeah,
we used to be getting like 1,300 props or like 600 props. Like I don't know. So Skillshare. They work on a unique Udemy, a unique student. So you would get $1 per enrollment of a unique student. So for instance, on my profile right now, I have 500 enrollments. I don't know how many of those are premium, but I'm expecting to see in my first month that I'm eligible to receive a paycheck from them. I'm looking at least $350, and it's pretty quick to upload your course onto that, and you don't need to do any marketing. That's the beautiful thing, because they work by a monthly subscription, and you're supposed to get $1 per unique enrollment, as well as another additional dollar if somebody completes a project. That's something different on Skillshare, is that you've got to come up with like a quick and easy project that they can do, and every time your student completes that, you'll get an additional dollar. So then there's incentive for you to engage your student and have them complete that. So for example, we're talking to other instructors, and I think Gary Vaynerchuk's actually on there, and he has 10,000 unique students. So he has anywhere between, you know, $14,000 and dollars on there. Phil Ebner has 14,000 unique students. So I think it's going to be, if everything, from what other instructors are telling me, Skillshare is going to bump into the number two for me in the future. So I think you should definitely go on there.
Yeah, I'll invest my time in that. Very good point. Smart. Maybe I'll focus on that UK thing and Skillshare. It's so confusing. Skillshare. By the way, can I? Sergey, can I make a request? Can you give me props so I'm double of Dennis? Thank you. I appreciate it, Sergey. I love the comments also from Sergey. He's like, keep him away from Blackhead Forum. That was really funny.
I'm just posting some links to some of those sites because I just did a search on Google. The first one is Skillhands. That's run by the guy who is with us today. So you should definitely check out his website. And then I put Skillshare, which you had mentioned. Teachable is another one. And those two links that I put in there are either like Coursera and Lynda.com are also some sites that come to mind that people can post their sites to. It takes more work because you have to manage it. I mean, you talked about you have 72 courses on Udemy. Talk about managing courses on Udemy and then on Lynda and Skillhance and Skillshare. I can't even. I know that Matt sometimes calls his own website Skillshare on accident.
Or Skillfeed.
Yes, which is no longer around, right?
You should retire.
Which one went out of business?
It was financially. What did we say? It was financially challenged.
You're not slow. They're just financially challenged.
It was based in New York City too, and there was a company that photo company owned them, and I don't know what happened with them. I was making some decent income on that site. I mean, it was like enough to buy a couple of mills or whatever, but still, it was nice. But Matt was talking about Skillshare, so I think that I need to check that out.
Yeah, we all need to get on that.
Yeah. Matt says that I'm up next here, so I got a multitask there. So let's go back now and talk mobile ops, because you and I have talked about that a little bit, and I know that.
He was giving props. Phil, I'm trying to get double the props of all these guys. Can you please hook me up with something? Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. All right. Also, Sergey, hook me up with some more props. All right. I'm going for double you guys.
Phil's got to give me some props because I'm going on their show here.
Phil, can you throw at least 68 props my way so I can at least tie down?
I'm okay. Look, now I feel so much better about myself. I'm doing great. All right, guys.
Yeah, they have no monetary value, so there you go. So I want to talk more about mobile apps, because I know that you have an app out there that I would like to do something like it to be able to put Udemy courses on the app. So first of all, is something mobile apps, are you seeing some decent revenue from your mobile apps? And let's talk about ways to build those apps for those that are listening out there who are curious about that stuff, because mobile apps are popular.
Okay, let me first explain how to build them so that people can sort of feel like they can do it once I talk about making money from them. Traditionally, there's been a few ways to make apps, right? So if you're a programmer, or if you want to learn how to, you know, take a Udemy course, learn how to build it, it's the most pain in the ass way, right? You gotta bang your head against the wall. Like, it's really difficult. There's a lot of stress and challenges. Sometimes there are bugs. You have no idea how to fix them. You don't know when you're going to figure them out. So it's challenging. The other options are no less challenging. The other options are like, you know, get a programmer to partner with you. Well, good luck with that. Because, you know, they're either going to work on their own idea or they're going to get paid six figures somewhere, you know, at a job, right? So good luck convincing them that your awesome idea is worth them not getting, like, 100K, right? So that's not going to work. So partnering is very hard. And so the other option is outsourcing. Basically, you know, you can outsource on Upwork.com, which has pretty, very, very good people, but it's not going to be cheap because, you know, when you have ideas, you have an app idea and, you know, it's going to take some thousands of dollars to build it. But the thing people mostly don't realize is that when you launch your app, that's really day one. To make any technology good, you have to perfect it over time. So instead of the $1,000 that most people think is going to cost them to make their app, it's multiple times of that. That's the cost. Because the real cost is like over time, iterating, improving the app. And that's the same with any technology product, from a car to a tank to an app. It's really just improvement over time. Almost all technology sucks at first, right? But a lot of people run out of resources. They run out of money before they build their app. So I have like a fourth way. It's actually something that I started doing. It's like, it has the best of all worlds. And that is, of course, you struggle, you learn how to make the app, and you outsource some crucial parts of the app, which are like maybe difficult or challenging, but you don't necessarily outsource and just have it made, but you outsource and you get the person outsourcing it, kind of coaching you of how they did it. And the coaching part just takes like an extra 30 minutes, an extra hour, but then you'll be able to go and edit and make changes to that part of the code, right? So that it's not like a blind thing you're getting. And if it doesn't work, you have no, you're stuck. So that kind of hybrid of learning how to do it on your own and getting coaching and getting outsourcing, it's the cheapest sort of way, and it has the combination of not expensive, but quality, and it doesn't take you too long to build this app. So it has the best of both worlds, of all three worlds. And then once you have the app, then we can talk about, and this is something anyone can do. So once anyone can build the app, then it becomes actually the challenging part is really marketing the app. And an even more challenging part of the app business is making money from apps. And really the hardest part about the apps is making money from them. Because as we alluded to earlier, you know, go ahead and try to pry 99 cents away from the hands of an app user. It's very difficult. So did you guys want to know about like how to make money from them, or what's a lucrative app area to get into, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to learn. Ooh. I don't know why there's so much.
What the heck?
What the heck is going on with
that? Wait. Mute Alex. Alex, mute yourself for a second. Okay, so maybe grab headphones or something, or mute your mic when you're not talking. I don't know, because there's no more feedback anymore. But I think we all want to know about how to make money with apps, and then maybe it's one of the same of what lucrative topics or areas would be.
How's the audio now, guys? Is it a little better? Yeah. Okay. My area business it's been a challenge to make apps, you know? It's been years that my apps have been live, right? So I've had so many different experiments that, you know, I made inside these apps. I tried, like I said earlier, I tried affiliate, I tried to sell my coaching, I tried to sell my books, my products, like a million in-app subscriptions, in-app purchases, all kinds of things. Together, it makes reasonable money. But really, you know what the amazing thing about apps is? Let's say I met you on the street or whatever, and I told you, hey, I've got this business, I've got these online courses, which you guys know, that stuff is good. But most people, that's not mainstream. And, you know, if people who are under 30, if you tell them, oh, I wrote a book, they'll be like, who the hell cares, right? But if you wrote an app, they'll be like, oh my God, you made an app? Show me, tell me, I want to download, I want to see. And that's the kind of response I get. And I'm like, okay, that just gets attention, right? So the most lucrative thing that the apps have really given me is like a platform, you know, a brand. People like sort of recognize me in that field. And actually today I was in my gym and somebody came up to me and they're like, hey, you know, I was like, somebody I know knows you. Like, and random. And it like doesn't happen that rarely. Like another person in the gym recognized me like a month ago. And, you know, so it kind of gave me an ability to get a lot of publicity. So if ever I want to get publicity, I lead with the apps. Like, even though like the courses are more lucrative, I lead for publicity, I lead with apps, and it gets me like every like place I want to be, except like, you know, the big ones like TechCrunch or, you know, except for the huge things. Every time I want to get on a podcast, every time, it just differentiates me so much. And gotten me it's opened so many doors for me that way that I think it's like almost indirectly more lucrative that way, because it's still like the sexy business is apps. If you were to ask me, I would say like the cooler business is Udemy, but people don't see it that way. You know, people still see like apps are so cool. And so indirectly, it's a tremendous benefit. I don't know if that really answers about, you know, how to make money from apps, but really the landscape of apps is really challenging. millions and millions of apps out there, very hard to get downloads, even harder to make money. But for some reason, it's got this like pizzazz about it. Like, you know, it's got this hype that, you know, if you're smart, you're going to take full advantage of the hype. Like, yeah, apps, you know. But I'm not personally too excited about them. I think it is the future. Like, it is the future. I'm still investing in development of them. I'm still investing in my branding, my personal branding related to the apps, right? That gives me the pedestal, the platform. But as far as the apps themselves, it's a very, compared to like YouTube, Fiverr, and other things outside of Udemy, it's about the same as them. Because also to keep in mind, like, let's say on Fiverr, you want to open a Fiverr account on day one, you're in business. With apps, you have to invest a tremendous mind effort to have your app launch, and sometimes money, and sometimes other things, and time. You know, it might take you 3 months to be in business, right? That's a huge, you know, investment of your own personal resources. Whereas, like, well, you know, you want to be on Udemy, you want to be on Fiverr, you know, you can just be there quickly. So the two market strategy for apps is also very difficult, costly in more ways than just money. So it's a really big challenge. It's something to like really think twice about, you know, if you're serious about starting a business. Most young people like it. They just plow into the app business because it's the sexiest, coolest business today. But, you know, I think if you want to be savvy, I think you want to really consider the entire landscape of it.
And before we start to wrap up and accept questions, Alex, where can people find you out of all the business ventures that you're in?
So I have a website, problemio.com. I have a little blog, which I have a list of all my courses and discounts to all my courses, which maybe you guys will link to in the show notes, so people, because the URL is a little bit long to say. And of course, people should email me. It's my name, alex.genedinik, which is an impossible last name, at gmail.com. So that's why it's so much easier to just, you know, go to your show notes, and then from there, maybe find me. But if you're amazing enough to remember my last name, or if you're amazing enough to copy and paste my name from somewhere else, it's alex.mylastname@gmail.com. And, you know, I love hearing from people. My entire business is predicated on helping people. And that's what I actually really am passionate about, helping people. And I love, genuinely do love hearing from people and interacting with them. And so I hope to hear from people. And I'm actually looking forward to getting some questions, you know. Hopefully, Sergey will have some cool stuff to ask us.
And if anybody is interested in some of the great things that Alex had to say about my Udemy course that he watched a year ago, this is the link to it. It's for a $9 coupon, and it's usually on sale on my website for $19 or $37 if you're watching this years from now. And Alex, feel free to post your link.
Hey, is it getting dark there? What?
Dennis, you're not on top of your plugs. Look at that. Like, look at that. That was masterful.
I'm coaching him via the magic of instant messaging. He's like, man, it looks like it's getting dark there.
I'm going to post.
Yeah, it's getting dark on my end.
This counts to all my courses. There you go.
No, because Matt's going to ask me the last thing, like where people can find me online.
Well, where can people find you, Dennis?
That's great that you asked that, Matt. You can find me online at DennisJSmith.com. And we have some feedback there. So, again, that's DennisJSmith.com. And I just want to say thanks, Alex, for joining us today. And thank you for those who took time out of their day to join Matt and I. You can join us every week for the Make Money Online show or podcast, which is here on Blab at 1 p.m. Pacific time and 4 p.m. Eastern time. And I will be a guest this evening on Phil and Dave's show, the content show, right?
Passive Income show.
Oh, what? Who shows?
Come on, then. You gotta get the name right.
That was the show that we were talking about calling this one.
I told Phil that I was going to drink vodka drinks during their show, the passive income show. Boy, yeah.
Seems I'm like actually, you've had a couple of vodka drinks already.
No, but I'm excited to be a guest tonight on the show. We're going to talk about affiliate marketing through the Udemy affiliate program. So if somebody's interested in learning more about that, they can certainly join us tonight. I know that it's at 7 Pacific, right, Phil? Because I know it's 8 o'clock my time, right before my bedtime. 6 Pacific. So that's 7 my time. Well, that's great. That's a little earlier my time. So join us tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific. That's 7, 8, 9 Eastern. So that's still early enough for Matt to hang out and watch the show. And Alex, too, because he's on the Eastern time zone.
Yeah. And by the way, what happened to you guys not drinking beer anymore on the show?
We smartened up and we got serious.
I have a better thing. I know you're talking about drinking beer and vodka, right? How about drinking some vitamin D?
That's not drinkable, is it?
Vitamin D gummies. All right, that'd be a good show for the show. Huh?
Why don't you just go outside your house and soak up the sun?
Too cold. Actually, people complain that it's a warm winter. It's gotten too cold.
Way too cold.
It's too cold. So stick with the vitamin D gummies and don't drink.
Being sunny. It was sunny when we started the show, and now it's cloudy out there. So, do you have any last minute advice before we go, or did I forget something, Matt?
But before probably we answer a couple questions, if anybody has some.
Yeah, there was one question up here I was telling you about that. I don't know if we covered that. It was, where did that go? I have to scroll up because somebody typed a lot. They have a question about different strategies that we can use to target traffic from social media and how we can make the organic traffic useful for any kind of working on internet marketing.
Who wants to take that one?
The strategy is a long-winded question.
You really have to figure out what your topic is, your course. So like if it's a WordPress course, find places that people are talking about WordPress online, whether it be a forum or maybe a Facebook group. That's where you would want to go in and target that type of audience. So it really depends on what your topic is, where you want to go to be able to specifically market to them. Specifically. So that's what I would have to say with that. Anybody else?
I think sometimes people look into obviously social media. The question honestly didn't entirely make English sense. It was a little so it's a little hard to understand which parts of it to answer. It sounds like my app users when they ask questions because they type on the phone and like the autocorrect like screws up their questions. I'm like, what is that word really supposed to be? Was the question about how to like target specifically on social media?
Yeah, I think that would be like targeting social media, like just specific ways. I would say that would be a good way to put it.
And Facebook groups, they're on all kinds of topics. There are groups, right? And I'll tell you how I can actually use different Facebook groups to sell products. Obviously you don't want to spam. You want to have a pre-existing relationship with whoever the group admin is. So the pre-existing relationship is very important. And then you literally can go in there and say, pick the group where the audience, big group, like 1,000+ people, and, where the audience cares about the topic of your course or whatever other thing product you're selling, and you hang out there, get to know people there, get to know everybody, and publicly or privately, but if you can do it publicly, ask the group admin, like literally mention at group admin and say, hey, I just launched this course, or I have a certain discount or some promotion going on. Do you mind if I post a link to the course? And that way you respect the admin. Usually the admin doesn't care if you respect him. It's a good, you know, you show you're a good citizen. And they say, you know, definitely you're welcome to do that. And then in your very next message, what you do is you say, add group admin allowed me, you know, gracefully or, you know, generously allowed me to mention my product. Here it is. Here's a link to my product and here's a discount. And what you really must do is use a very large image, a very bright, like good, nice looking image that will draw attention in the group to get the most engagement to your post. And then once you get a lot of engagement, make sure that you manipulate engagement by getting your friends to like and comment so that more and more people will see that post. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's how you get the maximum, you know, you're in good graces with the admin and the most people in the group will see it. And that's actually how you make reasonable sales from Facebook.
Yeah. Sergey wants to know.
Sergey's like a master.
I didn't mean to cut you off like that. I think that those were all really good points, that it is a good idea that you'll find me, like, if I see a friend posting something that I like their post, because that does help engagement on Facebook. But Sergey wants to know how he can make $10,000 a month on Udemy. And I was just chuckle.
I told Sergey how to do it. I told him like months ago, and he didn't follow my advice. And I don't know, he's not gonna. But it's all about it's all about having insane quality of your courses. Like whenever you think your quality is good, you're wrong. Like top one more level, and then maybe it's good, right? So never settle, Sergey. Always better. There's always you can be better. Okay, you're. Title can be better. Your sales video can be better. Your description can be better, although I think nobody reads that. Your actual lectures can be more engaging. They can be shorter and you say the same amount of stuff with less amount of time. Always can be better. You can be friendlier, better eye contact. Everything, we talked about eye contact, right, Dennis? You can use a bedroom voice, right? If you have a female-centric course, you know, you gotta use your very wide voice. Always, you could be better.
I think that advice is awesome and probably some of the best that I've ever heard on this show, for sure. It really hit home with things that I need to do and things that I think most people need to do.
Okay, in that case, guys, I have a challenge for you. On your next episode, I want to hear your very wide voice, or maybe now.
I don't think I want to go there. I don't want to go there. No, because I was like joking with Matt before the show, like it's just like the radio voice. Welcome to the Make Money Online show, where today's guest will show you how they make money with 72 courses on Udemy.
That's pretty good. But Jerry Weiss will do better.
And then I could do it on Helium too and make it funny. All right. Are we ready to wrap for the day there? Because we're running at about 9 minutes after the hour. We got a lot of great information in, and I'm sure everybody wants to get on with their day and take the information that we talked about today and put it to work for them. So, Matt, any last thing before we go ahead and wrap? Because I've got a show tonight with my friends Phil and Dave.
No, I mean, I think a lot of great information was said. Thank you so much, Alex, for coming on. Like, it was really a pleasure. And we'll continue to talk, like, you know, on Facebook chat or whatever else. Like, won't distract you too much, but it was a lot of fun and a lot of great information.
Guys, I had a lot of fun with this thing.
Great. We'll do it again sometime. So, all right, that's a wrap.
Thanks, Alex. Feel free to link your website again on this, and then we'll link it everywhere else.
Thank you. You know, I love to hear that. That puts a smile on my face. That's a quote from Sergey. That puts a smile on my face. I really like that. And guys, when I get a nice review, you know, that puts a smile on my face. That was from his like educational announcement. I was laughing about it. It was like, good quote.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up so that we can go on with our lives.
Good luck tonight, Dennis.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
I'll watch it tomorrow morning.
Good afternoon. Okay. Take care. Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
How do like? Now it says kick on there, so I'm gonna kick you off so that we can end this. Okay.
All right, but you're still good with everything?
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.